This is Brayden and Tally with the Voice of My Beloved podcast. We are back after 2 weeks of kind of being out. We have had
some excitement along the way.
Some excitement over the past couple of weeks. So we won't go into all the grand details of all that. But last week we actually were in a little bit of a car accident. And then it made for a really busy week. And I've also been having some health things that I've been dealing with on and off. But praise God, I feel really good right now. I feel better than I have in weeks. And so,
yes, thankful for that.
Really thankful for that. Yeah. Yeah. Last Sunday, we there's the fast of the 9th of Av, which was actually the 10th of Av last Sunday. It was a season of the dire straits the 3 weeks before that. And man, I think this year we weren't in Israel.
You want to explain what that means, the dire straits?
The dire straits.
So this is 21 days that there was this period in history. The Jewish people have just gone through a lot of hardships during that 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And so it starts three weeks before the 9th of Av. Yeah. And there were some just things in history that happened during that 21 days that just called the dire straits.
Yeah, it's called the dire straits. Yeah, I was actually born during the dire straits, the 7th of Av.
Oh, okay.
So some good things happened, right? Yeah. You went through this season of the dire straits and really felt like it, wow, we are. And it's, for me, it was like a really good reminder that, we are like the work that Yeshua did on this earth. Like it's a finished work, but yet we still long for like the fullness of the redemption, like the fullness of the reality of what he's done to actually like be fully here on the earth. Right. So that's what we're supposed to pray all the time, right? For God's kingdom to come down on earth as it is in heaven. And so for me, it was a really good season of, I felt like we were kind of in battle during that time. And it was a good season of just kind of longing for, because I think sometimes we can just kind of be like, well, this is just the way life is. And yeah, we just,
not whatever. Have vision for something.
Yeah.
Greater.
But like to have like a, like, I feel like God gives us like trials and battles to kind of bring out a longing, not that we are like, oh, this is just part of the, but like, so that something rises up within us. Like, no, there's something to live for. There's going to be a fullness of redemption one day. Like there's going to be the fullness of healing and of, Israel and the reigning of Yeshua on this earth and all of that.
Yeah. I got encouraged during that time. I read the verse. You're familiar with it. It says that if you put your hand to the plow, don't look back, you're not fit for the kingdom. Mm-hmm. And I just begin to think of that, how it's so important that we keep our eyes forward for the kingdom.
Yeah.
Just to continue plowing whatever fields in front of us. So I pray it's an encouragement to whoever's out there listening right now, just to keep plowing. Keep plowing the field. Don't get caught up on the past. You know, we can learn from the past for sure, mm-hmm. but just it's so important to keep our eyes forward and to just keep plowing the field that God has in front of us.
Yeah, and not lose sight of all of the creation is getting ready for.
Yeah, when discouragement or disillusionment comes in, the tendency is just to look back and stop plowing.
Right.
But Yeshua said, occupy till I come.
Yeah.
Just continue on doing the work that I've got you doing. It's set in front of you. Don't look back. And Yeshua said, remember Lot's wife. Uh-huh. No, don't look back. Don't look back. Just keep your eyes on me. Keep going forward.
Yeah, and it seems like, that's kind of the culture that we are kind of fighting against, is the culture of live for today. Mm. Just do what's good in the moment. Don't think about. So that's what we got to keep pressing in and fighting that tide, or going against the tide there in that. So we are going today, we're going to talk about just our story.
Our love story.
We just talk about our stories a lot. We've got all kinds of stories to tell. but we're going to talk about how we met and what that all looked like.
Yeah. And why is it important to share our story, you think? Just to give a picture of what something could look like? Not that anybody's story is going to be like ours.
No.
But just the idea of, this is what our story looked like, and this is what a potential, some of the things that we did could apply to somebody else's life.
I mean, the chances are your story is going to be completely different than ours.
Right.
But I think it's encouragement. All of the stories, all the testimonies out there, your testimony is important, as different as it is than anyone else's in the world. That's why it's so important, is because your testimony is so different, and it shows just how powerful God is and how he speaks. Like, God isn't in a box, how he speaks into every situation so specially. And so, you know, he answers our heart's cry. He knows what's, anyways, it's good. So we're going to talk about how we met and everything. So I guess we can just jump right in.
Yeah, let's jump in.
All right. So I always end up talking a lot on these things, but the whole thing kind of started on my side a bit. I mean, not the whole thing, but how we met. Wallers had started their ministry in Israel, and they were plugging away, starting the ministry. It was pretty small at the time when I met them. And I had just gotten back from this trip from Israel, like I'd said. Life turned around. I'm getting Above Ruby's magazine, which I'm going to say you all have to get connected to Nancy Campbell and Above Ruby's. we are hugely indebted to her because we met through through the magazine. But she's great encouragement. I was reading Above Ruby's magazine and being greatly inspired and encouraged as to how to prepare to be a wife and a mother and to raise a godly seed and all of that stuff, which I hadn't been exposed to a whole lot of that before. And so I'm learning a lot from her. And then this Above Ruby's magazine comes in, and I loved the whole idea of like big families and families working together and families loving each other and all of that stuff. And then this issue comes in, and it's got a picture of this little boy at the Wailing Wall. And I was like, oh my goodness, it's an Above Ruby's family in Israel. This is so cool. And so I read the article, the beautiful article that was written by my mother-in-law, Sherry. And I quickly went online, got connected to their website, and ordered A Journey Home, the documentary that was made about the Waller family. And so I had a friend that I was really close to at the time who was married with three children, or two children maybe at that time. But I went over to her house. She was the one that had introduced me to Above Ruby's. And I went over and I was like, look, Christy, there's an Above Ruby's family that's in Israel, that's doing stuff in Israel. I have to meet this family. And so I opened it up and I showed her. I was like, look. And she goes, whoa. She's like, because she knew I was just in love with Israel. And she looked at them, the picture, and it was a picture of a bunch of the boys there. And she goes, oh, Tally, I bet one of those guys are your husband. And they were all wearing, most of them were all wearing cowboy hats in this picture. And I'm like just coming fresh out of fashion design and stuff like that. And I just laughed. I was like, that would be hysterical, because I could not imagine marrying someone that would wear a cowboy hat. So anyways, it was kind of funny. And so I got a Journey Home. And
yeah, the Journey Home thing, do you get the prize for watching that the most times?
Probably.
How many times did you watch it?
It'd be hard to beat. I don't have any idea.
30 or 40?
I was going to school and stuff at this point and would just have it playing in the background all the time. I was very familiar with Braden's voice before we got married. Uh-huh. It's just such a great story. Uh-huh. But yeah.
So I should tell my side of that whole thing too. So,
well, Tally, okay, wait, hold on just 1 second. Okay. I watch A Journey Home. Watch it with my friend. She's all excited about it, Christy. They're like, this is amazing. We have to meet this family. So I email Sherry shortly after this, and I write to her, and I'm just like, I want to be a part of what you're doing. I would love to meet you all. I love Israel. I've been there, and blah, 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 blah. And I sign off Tally Waller. Well, at this time, my sisters and I are playing in a band together, and we're writing music, and we have a website, a MySpace website that has our music on it, and as well as all of these artistic photos.
They're into vintage style clothing.
We wore straight vintage at all of our shows, and we had like the long, it was like very 70s, 60s, 70s kind of inspired stuff.
It definitely wasn't Amish looking.
No.
Which was kind of my growing up, you know, from the time I was 12 to 18, I grew up in an Amish community. And so the funny thing is, so we click on this link and we're like, Natalia's introducing herself through this band. And
they're
so
in Israel, right?
Yeah, we were in Israel at this time. Yeah. And so we're just looking at their music and looking at their pictures and things. And we're looking at it. And my brother Nate just kind of happens to walk by and he goes, "Braden, there's your wife right there." He was just joking, totally joking. Cause he just saw that, it, you know, she was pretty much on a different wavelength when it came, when it comes to cultural, you know, things. And they said, "There's your wife right there, Braden." And so we just looked back at that later and thought, wow, Nate, you spoke prophetically.
Right. Yeah, so it was kind of funny how on both sides we were kind of, yeah, had these comments thrown at us. So I write this email, and at this point, Zach's writing on the website. He's got a blog going that I'm keeping up with and stuff, and listening to all their stories from Israel and stuff. And so they're coming back for Passover, and they're planning this Passover Seder in Tennessee. By this time, I'm like fully convinced we have to meet these people. I want to be going to Israel with them. And so I'm writing to my whole family. I'm a very kind of whatever.
Evangelistic
yes, person.
Has to pull everybody into what she's doing.
Yeah. So I'm writing emails to all of my family once they send out this Passover invitation. I was like, we have to go. And so I'm sending like my plea. And I'm wanting to move to Tennessee at this point. And so I'm sending this plea to all of my family members. Angela, she's into recording music. And I'm like, Angela, they've got the best recording studios in Nashville. And Kendra's into goats. And I'm sending her the La Mancha farm that you look at all the time. It's right in Tennessee. And my parents are wanting to get out of Pennsylvania. I'm like, Tennessee's got great property for sale. So I somehow convinced the whole family, which they all wanted to go to because they liked A Journey Home. But we all went down for Passover Seder. And that was 12 and a half years ago now. And so we went down there and went to this Passover Seder. And there's what, 100 people there or something?
Something like that, yeah.
It was before Family Week started. And Caleb comes bouncing out to meet us and Victoria and, you know, tells us that they, you know, looked at our band stuff and whatever. And so, yeah, we spent that weekend with them.
Your dad ended up buying a place in Tennessee.
My dad bought a property down in Tennessee over the weekend there. And yeah, we got to know them, played music for each other, with the families together and stuff. And the funny thing is, now this is going to be some pieces of advice here. Okay. So we go and meet them and we're at their fellowship congregation. And this lady who's there at their congregation, she sits me down. She goes, "Have you talked to Braden Waller yet?" And I was like, I haven't really talked to him yet. Everyone else has, you know, come and said hi. And she's like, "Oh, I really hope you get to talk to him because I just think you would make a really great match." She says, which she's crazy for thinking that. I don't think anyone else was thinking that in the room at this point. At this point, I'm still wearing like high heels, lots of makeup, and pretty, you know, artsy kind of attire. And so I was like, well, we'll see, you know, if he talks to me, whatever. So I end up going home and I don't know if we said, did we say much of anything?
Not much. I don't think we spoke much.
Yeah, I don't think we said much. And so we went home and she even emails me later. "Did you ever get to talk to Braden?" I was like, "No, you know, whatever." But I talked a lot to his parents and the rest of his family. Okay, so that was that time. Then the next time we saw them was in Washington, D.C. There was a Christians United for Israel big summit thing in Washington, D.C. We went down with friends of ours that were super Israel lovers. And then the Wallers were there. Do you want to tell your...
Yeah, so we actually went in and visited this Holocaust Memorial Museum. And I remember Tally and I walking through that. And that was our first real conversation that we had. Uh-huh. And so it was interesting. Just like at that point in my life, I tried to be reserved because I had some experiences where I'd have conversations with young ladies and they would get to thinking that I was, you know, there was more to it than really was to it. And it got me, you know, into some problems as far as, you know, people reading between the lines and thinking that there was more to the relationship. So I try to keep kind of a reserved type of approach to relating to other young ladies in my life. You know, I tried to be brotherly and kind and nice, but I just didn't want to, you know, give a lot of one-on-one attention. But in this case, I did that a little bit. And so I kind of went outside my normal parameters. And we had this conversation as we were walking through this Holocaust Memorial Museum. Yeah. And we connected on some level. I think you kind of, as I was trying to avoid, I think you actually
ran into the same problems he was trying to avoid. Because, yeah, so we go through and we're talking about music, Michael Card music, and we're talking about goats and your farm and stuff like that. We ended up talking quite a bit walking through the museum. And yeah, that was pretty much it for me. I was like, yeah, he's the one. It's crazy. Uh-huh. Crazy girls. And then on top of that, my friends that had gone down to this summit with us, they, you know, seeing all of us relate. And that's the only conversation we had at that time. The rest of the time was just spent with the families.
Yeah, and I just want to add there too, in the scriptures, it talks about the younger men relating to the ladies as sisters. And I was just trying to grow in that. Yeah. Like, what does it mean to treat? And I think that's important, you know, to do that, to be, you know, relating to young ladies in your life as sisters, and, you know, right, in all purity, it says. And yeah, so that's the key. You know, when he crosses that line of not being pure, you know, whether emotionally or physically, then that's crossing the line. But yeah, I was just trying to figure out how to do that. And yeah, with varying success.
Yeah. And I also want to point out too, that it's not his fault that I had problems. And I've, like, you know, being around the conservative world the past 10 years, I've realized that there can tend to be this thing amongst the young ladies as if it's your right that people should protect your heart, which I understand that to a certain extent. However, when it all comes down to it, you are responsible for your heart. You are responsible for whatever goes in there. You will never be able to control all of the circumstances that happen around you. You'll never be able to control the people that come to you and make suggestions on who's your husband, the people that come to you and whatever, and say things, the guys that come and are friendly to you. Some guys are just more comfortable talking to girls than others. Some are more friendly. And for me personally, I'm glad that Brayden's friendly, and it was not his fault that I started having issues. I was a girl that grew up not understanding how to guard my heart.
Yeah.
And so I fell for it pretty.
Yeah. And it's just a challenge to both young men and young women, all of us, to guard our heart with all diligence. You know,
right,
there's a certain
right
diligence that's required to guard our hearts. And some people almost act like their hearts are just gone wild and they have no capability of reining them in. But that's not the truth.
It's
like there has to be a place of diligently guarding our thoughts, right, our hearts. And because it says out of that is the issues of life. You know, right, there's going to be a spring of life that comes forth from a guarded heart.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's what we want to aim for.
Yeah, and I also think that it's part of training too. Like, God doesn't intend for us to just have everything made in the shade for our lives, you know, that everything should just be all ironed out for us. That, you know, there's people that just really get mad at ladies love matching people, you know, whatever. Guys like matching people at times too. Matching people just has become fun or whatever. And I've seen young people kind of get angry almost that people would even dare to mention something. And I'm like, you know, I think that it's really important to guard your heart from that, from bitterness and anger towards those people, because these people have good intentions. They don't know what they're doing. They don't understand your struggle. And ultimately, this is God testing your heart. And you should be thankful for it, because God's training you for something.
Is this also an encouragement to those people that may be tempted to offer
to
suggestions?
To make the matches, yeah.
It's like you're adding fuel to that flame that maybe shouldn't be.
It definitely does not help matters. No. Yeah, for sure. So my friends that had come to this event were actually said the same thing. They're like, oh, Brayden, I think he's the one for you, you know? And so I was around this, you know, continually in my story. And so then, so, okay, we come away from this event and I'm struggling with, I'm not even struggling. I'm just full out like, oh, you know, maybe I'll marry him one day just because this is the mode I grew. I didn't know you're supposed to. So anyways, then I have another little meetup with a friend. And this is what I'm saying, like, God, it's so beautiful how as you submit yourself to him, he so gently leads you and just guides you in these perfect ways when your heart is open to his leading. And so I'm wanting to do God's will. I'm wanting to do the right thing. And so God introduces this young lady that comes for like a day visit. And this is shortly after we spent this time with Braden and the family. And she gives me this book. And this book is one that encourages, it's a novel, it's a story. But the book was made to encourage young ladies to keep their hearts and save themselves. Yeah. And
it's a challenge, right?
It's called The Challenge. And it's the challenge is to stay emotionally pure for your husband. And so this is like revolutionary. I've never heard of such a thing before. I was like, what in the world are you talking about? Like, you're not supposed to think about anyone. And so this totally changed my perspective on things. And so, not to say that it made me get over it or anything, because I struggled with Braden, with entertaining these thoughts. You know, that was a struggle for me up until the time he called. But it gave me such good, weapons and vision for what I was shooting for. And so that's why during this season, the next year, I think it was about a year until you asked for me, that during that season, it gave me a good vision for, like, I was going to pray. And I continually would think in my mind, or, you know, just try to take my thoughts captive to the point where I would be happy if I got an email saying, hey, Braden Waller's getting married, you know, and that's where I kept.
Someone else.
Mm-hmm. To someone else, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to be in a place where I wanted to see God's will worked out in his life, whether that included me or not. And so that was my continual heart thing. Now, I felt like I really sincerely wanted that. And that's what I was shooting for the whole time. And so, yeah, so I was thankful that God kind of directed me in that way. It was good. So, okay, what else we got here? So then, okay, other times that we spent time together was a year after we met. They had the first family week, Passover gathering. Bunches of people came out. That was the week I slept the smallest amount in my life. I think I slept 3 nights that week, mm-hmm. that whole week. I was working night shift, drove through the night to get to family week, stayed up for the Passover Seder
night watch.
Did the night watch. And yeah, and then I think I had night shift when I got back home. But yeah, it was.
Was it worth it?
It was definitely during these times. Like, I didn't talk to Braden at all during that time. And, but I, you know, observed and, you know, got to know his family and stuff during that time. But we were around each other. I got to see where he was shooting, like what his vision was in his life. I saw a man, he is a prayer warrior. Like, this is huge in his life. And it was actually, to me, intimidating. I was just like, wow, like that. And at this point I was like, I don't know if he's the one for me. You know, like, I just was, you know, like, I was like thinking, I don't know, it put me on a different mindset, because I was just like, wow, this is really intense, you know. I don't know, you know, where I'm at with that, like, as far as going for that, the intensity that he had. So this was family week, but also just seeing his passion, his love for God, it was huge. And the rest of his family, it's not like I was, you know, I was really at this point trying to guard my heart and stuff, and really pressing in for, yeah, the right place, but still observing the family and everything. So then, okay. So then we, another time that our families got together. So in the meantime, okay, so I'm living in Pennsylvania. They're living in Tennessee. This is why we're only seeing each other a couple of times a year. And then I go down to Tennessee because my sister is now in Tennessee at a recording studio. And I decide to get a ride back up to Pennsylvania going on the Waller bus. They were going up that way. And so this is another time I got to spend with his family. Again, I don't know. I think we shared one conversation during that time about Derek Prince. Or something like that.
I don't remember.
Yeah. and got to know his family and stuff, brothers and sisters and mom and dad really well. Yeah. again, just really impressed with the family. So yeah, so that's the story. And then a little bit later, what, that's several months later, family came up to Pennsylvania, spent a week with us.
Yeah, because we would fly out of New York City and stay at the Lupinacci's in transit to the airport.
Yeah. Yeah, so they came up and spent the week with us there.
Yes, and Noni was trying to kind of get my attention a little bit.
Yes.
Right? This is Tally's mom.
Yes, this is my mom. She's saying stuff like, we're going to milk the goats or something like that, and Brayden would come and help or something. You know, it wasn't just Brayden and I or anything. It was like a group of us would go. And I'd come back in, and she'd be like, oh, did you see how Brayden wanted to go help with the goats? I was like, Mom.
You know, it's interesting. When you stay in somebody's house, you really get to know them better. It's just the way things are. But my parents were interestingly staying in Tally's room, and she had her room painted bright red. She had peacock feathers. She had a gold clock on the wall, and it was just very artistic. And so I end up during this trip. No, that was when I came back from Israel. That's right. Yeah. But anyway, I was just, got to know the family a little bit. Yeah. So, so I'll share a little bit about what happened with me. So I'm in Israel for 3 months. We're there.
You fly off to Israel. You're in Israel for 3 months.
And Dad has this conversation with me. We're walking through the streets of Jerusalem. He says, Brayden, what do you think about Tally? And I was like, I don't know. You know, culturally speaking, we're on two different worlds. And he said, well, I just want you to pray about it. And so begin to pray about it. And we were going to be coming back through their place when we got back from Israel. So we were there. We spent the night, the first night, and I lay down, and within moments of getting into sleep world, I have this dream about Tally, and she's coming to me saying, I would like to be married. And it was a very vivid dream. It was something that I knew God was speaking to me. And so I woke up from that. I went up to Mom and Dad's room, and it was just ironic because here I am in this place. It's like culturally, I'm like in a different place as far as what I'm thinking. Like if you'd asked me a couple years before that, like 5 or 6 years before that, if I was even going to drive a car, I probably said no. I'm not, I was just thinking, I was kind of in that Amish world. I like that lifestyle. I like living off the land, really simple. But here I am in this room that's totally not simple, everything but simple. And I'm actually feeling like God's calling me to marry this girl. And so it's amazing how God will work and totally put you on a different trail than sometimes you're expecting.
Yeah.
And I'm so blessed. So blessed. They say opposites attract, and that's really true in our case.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And yeah, it was kind of funny because, as different as Brayden was from me through these 2 years, cause I'm observing him pretty closely for 2 years and, or year and a half, whatever it was. And how different he was, what was so intriguing about him, like just how, he was just, I couldn't figure him out. Like it was just, he's very different than me, who's very just out there and,
And now knowing how interested you are in psychology, I've learned this about Tally since we've been married. She's really, that must have been really like a puzzle for you, like to try to figure me out.
Yeah, it was. I was really trying. Yeah.
I'm not saying she's interested in a bad way about psychology. She just enjoys kind of figuring out how people tick.
I'm an observer of people. I really enjoy that. So this started our whole story. We just wanted to kind of give you just what life looked like, which you have if you get the book Betrothed, you can read about it and you don't even have to listen to the podcast because I think we wrote about pretty much everything. It was probably much more concise and nice in there.
Well, part of it is we want to give this picture that it wasn't cold turkey. We had known each other over a couple of years and it wasn't like we just met each other for the first time and said, let's get betrothed.
Yeah.
So we want to paint that picture as well.
Yeah. And we got to know each other's parents really well too. Like I spent, like I said, these are big portions of time. Like I'm spending days and weeks with his family and stuff. And so that was a big part of it. And again, that's going to look different for everyone.
And even leading up to the betrothal, we had 2 or 3 months where we were spending a lot of time together. It wasn't like, that we just went right into the betrothal. And so we encourage that. We encourage people actually being really sure about the direction they're going before they get betrothed and not just jumping right into a betrothal because that's a serious covenant. And before you enter into covenant with someone, you want to make sure that you are in God's will and not just doing it rashly.
Right, right. Yeah, so I think we'll continue next week and maybe we want to get into what a betrothal actually looks like and kind of give you just what we did, kind of a thing, just what ours looked like. So yeah, so I think we're going to sign off now, and yeah, be blessed, be encouraged, and know that y'all are following after God, and pray that He will direct and lead you as you follow after Him. So this is Braden and Tally reminding you to listen to the voice of your beloved bridegroom. He is coming quickly.